C1R.
Number 4A.
We stopped right there, where we at the point of the Word as the Christ, showing how God expresses Himself as Himself. See, it is as Himself, because it's still the Word. Mrs. Eddy shows that it expresses itself through the nature, essence, and wholeness, then further through the attributes of God. So we get quite a range of ways that that God Himself is being expressed. Now, I want to take a little moment to consider these terms like essence, nature, attributes, and so on, because there is always quite a lot of questioning going on. What is the nature? What is the difference between nature and essence? What is the difference between a quality and an attribute? What is the difference between nature and quality? So let's take quickly these terms so that we know when we talk about them what we really mean. I start in the reversed order that Mrs. Eddy uses it, because it seems to be simpler. I start with attributes. Now, what are attributes? The definition is that which is attributed. Is that the right pronunciation? Attributed. Therefore, you can see it's something that we attribute to God. Therefore, a very relative sense, it could be. I say it could be. Why? Because, as we will see, there is also another definition about attribute. The definition further is that it is a characteristic. Okay. Now, attribute is usually compared with quality. What is quality? The dictionary says a quality denotes what a thing really is. See, not something which we attribute, which the other one not even may have. We put it on it. We stick it on it. But the quality is that what the thing really has and what it is. So a quality denotes what the thing really is in some one respect. An attribute, therefore, is what we conceive a thing to be in some one respect. So I think this seems to be clear at that point. It will be muddled up afterwards a little bit. That's what language is. When we come to quality, the definition goes on and says, thus, while attribute may, comma, quality must express something of the real nature of that of which it is ascribed. That's a bit difficult. There comes the muddle in. The language, the English language, uses quality and attribute, and thereby uses attribute sometimes as synonymous with quality. Not always. And that's how Mrs. Eddy also uses the term. That's why we are never quite sure, or we were for a long time not quite sure what she meant. So again I say it, or now I say it in my words, then it comes out much clearer than in Webster. We have seen that the quality really, you see, denotes what the thing really is. What the thing really is. Whereas an attribute can also state what the thing is, but must not be so. An attribute can be used in two ways, namely as a synonym for quality, but also as that which we attribute to something. That's the difficulty in the textbook, that sometimes she will call the very same thing an attribute and sometimes a quality. I think with intelligence she does that. So Funk and Wagnall says, thus while attribute may express something of the real nature of what it is ascribed, a quality must express something of the real nature of the thing. So a quality can never be an attribute, but an attribute can also be used as a quality. That's difficult in language. That has grown in a language, that's what happens with every language, that the language is very flexible, and therefore we have to know these tricks. So, again, a quality always expresses that which a thing is, nothing else. An attribute can do that too, but often it is something that we attribute to something and which that something doesn't have. It can have it, but must not need to have it. Whereas when it comes to nature, we can ask now, what is now nature compared with quality? The definition is that nature is the sum of its qualities and characteristics in constitution. So the nature of a thing is more than just a quality, it's the sum of all qualities that constitute a thing to be what it is. So nature is just the sum of qualities. What then is essence in contrast to nature? Essence is defined as the refinement of the nature. It's the refinement of the nature. So we can also see that in science, in Christian science, we say at large, mind, spirit, soul is the nature of God. And the refinement of it is, really the essence of it is, really that which matters is that we do not want to demonstrate that being is mind, that being is spirit, that being is soul. That's not our purpose. The essence of that is that that nature of mind, spirit, soul helps us to demonstrate life, truth, love, because we live by life and truth and love. And we wouldn't care if the nature would be something else, if it would demonstrate itself as life, truth, and love. That's the essence. That's what we want. We wouldn't care about the nature. If that nature is mortal mind and matter and the senses, if they would demonstrate life eternal, irresistible truth, fulfilled sense of love, then we wouldn't mind. So the essence is the demonstration of it, life, truth, and love. All right, so wholeness, as she also says, that it expresses the nature, essence, and wholeness. Wholeness naturally is that which includes all, which includes the nature and the essence. So principle, she says, includes all the synonymous terms. In Miscellany 225, she speaks about it and says, God's synonyms are love, truth, life, spirit, mind, soul, which combine as one. The divine principle includes them all. So that was a statement of her time before she revised Science and Health. Because you see, she had here truth, love, truth, life, spirit, mind, soul. It's an order or an arrangement. Let's say an arrangement of the synonymous term that really doesn't mean very much. Because she wrote it long before she wrote the definition of God. But the main point she wants to bring out that all the synonymous terms are included in one synonymous term, principle. So that's that. Now, we go to the next question, the word as Christianity, but still remaining the word. Just always feel that we are not leaving the main point, the word. It's still about God, still defining the nature of God, what is God, but now with a little touch of Christianity. Now, what is Christianity? You see, we begin now to be able really to find out ourselves first what Mrs. Eddy has to write as an answer. Can you see that? If we know the system, then we know about what Mrs. Eddy has to write. And we would write about it in the same way, not using the same terms, because we may not be so inspired or not yet so purified in our category as she was, but more or less we could ourselves figure out what she has to write about. If she has to write about the Word, what is the Word? God, the divine principle that includes all synonymous terms. If she has to write about the Christianity touch of that Word, well, Christianity is what? We have seen that Christianity is, when we start with the Word, that Word has an expresses itself and has Christianity as the outcome. What is the outcome of a principle? The outcome of a principle is the realm of ideas. That's Christianity, the realm of ideas. Therefore, if she is going to tell us something that this Word has also touch of Christianity, of idea, then naturally we would see now she must describe principle through its idea, through its unity with ideas. Up to this point she hasn't used ideas because she hasn't had yet a Christianity. Therefore, can you see that we could say, oh, yes, yes, now she has to tell that this God has a Christianity, has a realm of ideas within itself. Not out there a Christianity, but that word itself remains the center, has a Christianity, has a realm of ideas. Therefore, they must be somehow one, that principle and these ideas must be one, that they will constitute the universe, including men and principle God, will include it, that one God. Wouldn't we talk about that? Well, she talks the same way. No other way. In no other way. You know that she says the third question is there more than one principle? No. Is there more than one God or principle? Is there more? Is there something beside it? Is there an effect beside it? Is there a universe beside it? Is there God and somewhere a creation, somewhere a universe, somewhere man and the universe beside it or not? And naturally she must answer, no, there is always one God that includes within itself a touch of Christianity, namely the universe and ideas. Therefore she says, there is not more than one principle. And now she explains principle and its idea. Can you see? Principle and its idea, Christianity. Idea is always at the point of Christianity, we have seen, is one. There are not two. Comma, and this one, still that one. Now what is that one? That one is not principle. That one is principle and idea. Do you hear? If she would only speak in the category of word as word, she would only speak that of this one principle. But now, because it has a touch of Christianity, she must say, and that principle includes principle's idea. And that this one is God, this God, and then she defines God in a terrific way, namely showing that that one God is actually Word, Christ, Christianity. We are at the point of Word as Christianity, namely, is omnipotent, that's the Word, omniscient, Christ, omnipresent, Christianity, being, capital B, one God. Not principle as God, and then somewhere a universe of ideas separate from it. And his reflection, the moment you have reflection, you have the tone of Christianity. See, God is not reflection himself. God is the very thing. But the outcome of God, as it is shown forth in the universe, is reflection. So you have at once a sense, you see, of the Word as Christianity, and his reflection is man and the universe. Just as we built it up, the subject, before we read it, we said, well, the Word as Christianity must somehow show that there is a God, and that there is Christianity, namely man and the universe, but because it is from the standpoint of the Word, it must show that that Word includes Christianity. Must include somehow the universe, including men, and here it does, as a reflection. Can you see also how Mrs. Eddy was always trying to weigh every term and put it at the right place? I must make now a little side remark in order to show what I mean. We have said that city four square has four sides, and that those four sides can be explained in many characteristics. And one of the characteristics is that this holy city is wholly good. That was seen by John the Revelator. It was wholly good. And when we want to know what biblical term like good means, then we can turn to the glossary in order to show what is good when I want to know the scientific connotation of a biblical term. So if we turn to the glossary where she defines the biblical symbol good, she says good is God, Spirit, and then omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction, and gives the foresight of the holy city from the point of view of that city of the Spirit. Good. Here, in this answer to the third question, she answers that principle and idea is one, not are one, is one, and that this oneness of principle and idea is God. What kind of God? Well, we are at the point of the Word as Christianity, so she runs through the Word Christ Christianity and says it is of the nature of omnipotence, the Word, omniscience, Christ, omnipresent, Christianity being. Can you see? It seems as if she wants to show in recapitulation always somehow the logical deduction from the first premise that there is a God. She starts out with the question, what is God? States what is God, and then deduces constantly, always through the order of the four. Here, through the order of omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, to come to the focal point of Christianity, omnipresence. And that one being, she says, is and his reflection is man and the universe. So that the varied manifestations of Christian Science indicate what? They indicate mind. Can you see again? What is Christianity? Actually, when we have had the syllabus class on Christianity and have learned what is the focal point of Christianity, we know these things better, but Christianity is always when you go out from the focal point of idea and bring idea back to its origin, to its principle. Just like here, the varied manifestations, that's at the point of Christianity. That's the universe of ideas. That they indicate mind. They don't indicate ideas. They are brought back to the principle, but always indicating that Christianity is brought back to the world order again, to the world standpoint. And indicate mind, never matter, and have, again Christianity, and have one principle. Those who know Christianity know that the Christianity order is that which takes all the ideas of the universe and always traces them back to a synonymous term, like here. Where there it is shown that all the varied ideas, that's Christianity, all the varied ideas that constitute man and the universe, are actually ideas of one principle. Again, drawn back to the one synonymous term. And so they have one principle. So in this way, can you hear how she deduces very wonderfully, that she deduces in order to show word as Christianity, that she takes the word and says, God is a principle. In order to have an aspect of Christianity, we must have idea. Therefore, principle and idea here being one, because it's still the Word. What is that one? That is really God, which is principle and idea. So that all ideas, all manifestations, are actually indicating mind or God, and all manifestation indicate that they have one principle, God. I hope it's clear, but if it isn't clear, it doesn't really matter, because we have lots of time this week and you have all eternity to study it and ponder it. But wasn't there something else I wanted to show? No. Sure, I wanted to show something most important, namely this. In this answer to the third question, is there more than one principle? She says, no, there isn't. Principle and idea is one. Grammatically wrong, metaphysically right. It's an isness, they are not two. It's one and the same thing. There are just two aspects of the one and the same thing. Namely, principle is the aspect from the standpoint of the word, and idea is the same thing from the aspect of Christianity. Is that clear? Not just a statement, just logic. So they are the two sides of the one coin, so to say. The one side is the world, the other side is Christianity, but the coin is the one being. So that we have that answer, principle, and its idea is one. Now, this is an answer that she gave only as late as the second edition of 1907. The second edition. That means it is a change that she made before she made the change in the fourth edition of that year, where she changed the order of the seven synonymous terms. So first major change, principle and idea, is one, because earlier, much earlier, in miscellaneous writings, she wrote in 1886 in the journal, and then afterwards that journal article was incorporated in miscellaneous writings. She wrote about this problem differently. Namely, she said, God elucidates his own idea. You have again, principle and idea. Wherein principle and idea, God and man, are not one. Are not one. But are inseparable as cause and effect. So she said, they are not one. Then, 21 years later, she said, principle and idea is one. At that time, 1886, she said, if one, who could say which that one was? Can you also see how Mrs. Eddy must have listened and listened and listened to God, always, and so that the message, the purity of science would come through and would clarify itself, and she would change and change. Sometimes only little terms she would change, of great importance, of great magnitude, because they would hint to a completely different view of divine metaphysics. So here she made that change first, that principle and idea is one. And then, I guess when she has seen that, something must have dawned on her, consciously or unconsciously, that right afterwards, because this edition came out in a very quick succession, perhaps there was only a month or so in between, that then she changed the order of the definition. Now, why? If she was aware of it or not aware of it, but the reason for it is very clear.